Well, thanks a lot for the opportunity today. I very much wish I could be with you there in person, but life sometimes gets in the way. My grandson lives with us, and he picked up a case of COVID at his local preschool, unfortunately. And we thought the rest of us could be home free. My daughter got a positive test yesterday, so that's why I'm talking to you from here instead of talking to you in person like I had hoped to be. So I got a few slides I'll start off with here, if that's okay. First, I want to talk about the mostly good news on the crop side and livestock as well. We're seeing much higher prices for a lot of the major commodities this year than we had seen in recent years. We have a $5.45 average price for corn projected by USDA for the current marketing year, for example, and some informal projections we're putting together this week for review purposes suggest the price staying about $4.80 a bushel for the crop that will be harvested next year if we have normal weather conditions and everything else plays out as we currently anticipate. So while that's down from the current year's crop price, it's still well above the levels we saw a couple of years ago. That same story holds for soybeans, for wheat, for cotton, and for any number of other products on the crop side. On the livestock side, we may see stronger prices for cattle in 2022 versus 21. So again, lots of good news in that respect. But of course, on the not-so-good side, operating costs have definitely increased sharply in recent months, and there's real concern about even availability of certain inputs for next year's crops. Fertilizer costs are up dramatically. You can see some very, very preliminary estimates there we put together recently, and even that's assuming that the current super high spot prices we see for nitrogen and other fertilizers are down at least a little bit between now and spring. But with the numbers we've got there, we're talking about another $55 an acre for corn fertilizer costs in 2022 versus what they were in 2020. Additional costs there for seed, for fuel, for any variety of other inputs as well. So over $70 an acre of additional costs for a corn producer in 2022 versus 20, and a smaller increase for soybeans than that, quite dependent on nitrogen fertilizer. There's again on the crop receipt side, these are numbers we did back in September. I think if we were to redo them today, we would have a dramatically different story. A very large increase in cash receipts to the farm sector in 2021 on the crop side, with corn, soybeans, and other major crops leading the way. Blue is the contribution from corn, green is the contribution from soybeans, red are all the other major program crops, and hay. And then the orange is one at the top. There's everything else, fruits, vegetables, etc. So more than a $50 billion increase in cash, or roughly a $50 billion increase in cash receipts in 2021 versus 2020, remaining around the level in 2022 if things play out as we currently anticipate, and only a slight pullback in subsequent years. Livestock, likewise, a pretty good size increase in 2021. We had the very depressed livestock markets last year, especially in the spring, that reduced dramatically receipts to the livestock sector in the early months of 2020. It rebounded pretty strongly this year. Could even see a bit stronger picture in 2022 than shown in this chart if cattle markets do improve in the months ahead. Production expenses, of course, are up already pretty sharply this year. These are numbers we had back in September. If we redo them now, I'm certain we would show a larger increase in production expenses in 2022. So that's offsetting the good things on the receipt side. And if overall bottom line for farm income, these are again numbers from September. We have a pretty good level of farm income in 2021, over $120 billion we estimated at that time. Again, I think if we were doing a new snapshot today, it'd be very similar to the level for the current calendar year. In nominal terms, it's approaching or very close to the record of 2013. Real terms, not quite that high, but still a pretty good level of net income this year. That falls off in 2022, and one of the main reasons why is the right-hand chart. So government payments were a record $46 billion in calendar year 2020. They'll be high again this year, probably in the neighborhood of $30 billion, depending on just how many of the various disaster program checks go out between now and the end of the calendar year. And then based on these numbers back in September, before the latest round of special payments were announced, we'd be dropping back down not only to, but even below the levels we saw for the period between 2006 and 2018. Again, revised numbers will be a little higher for 2022 once we take into account the extra disaster payments and other things that were approved after the 1st of September. But still, a very, very sharp drop off on that side, explaining a lot of the drop that we see in farm income as the increase in receipts is being offset by the increase in costs. The net income drop is largely because of the drop in payments. I think what this means for real estate and rental markets, you know, rental prices are almost certainly going to be up in 2022. The only question is how much. Going forward, of course, depends how markets evolve in subsequent years. Our real estate values, these are numbers from September again. We were at that time projecting a significant increase in farm real estate values in 2022. I think more recent reports suggest it'll be even higher than this unless things retreat in the months ahead. The fact that we have a bit of a dip after that again reflects the fact that the baseline assumes a little bit of an increase in interest expenses in later years, and that, you know, could be a bit of a drag on land values. But of course, we're coming at this from a period of very dramatic growth in just the last couple of years' time. And again, as we're trying to set the tone for the next farm bill debate, you know, just to remind ourselves where we are in terms of where the spending comes from. The blue part of the bars here are going to be the basic farm commodity program payments, ARC, PLC, the dairy program, things like that. Green's going to be crop insurance. Red's going to be the various conservation programs, and the orange at top are the special programs we've had the last several years in the disaster program spending. 22 again will be higher once we get the final checks in the mail. Note that crop insurance is the largest single part of the farm safety net going forward on average. It depends on the year, of course, but under average conditions, whereas the basic farm bill commodity programs, if current prices are if current prices don't retreat too much, we just won't have a lot of spending on the ARC and PLC side of things, and maybe the dairy program won't cost much either. So, you know, if you think about this in terms of baseline sense, there'll be a lot more crop insurance dollars to talk about in the farm bill debate than the ARC and PLC payments to talk about unless the market condition changes dramatically in the next couple of years. So some policy issues, first of all, not related to the farm bill. You know, we've got the reconciliation bill, of course, that's being considered today in the House. Does it actually get done? If so, you know, do the current provisions in the House bill come out of the final part of the process with enhanced spending on conservation programs and a variety of other things as well? Biofuel policy, we still have a renewable fuel standard for 2021, let alone 2022. Everybody's expecting it to come any day, but we've got the word it's not going to be the day, apparently. So when are we going to hear about that? Then after 2022, the provisions of the RFS become a bit more murky. I think the expectation might have been back in 2007 that we have new legislation passed. You know, is that actually get done, or is this going to be done by EPA deciding what they think the appropriate way to run the RFS is going to be in years after 2022? We, of course, have a disaster aid that's already been approved. What other types of things might happen, appropriations bills in the months to come? And, of course, what will the administration do under the Commodity Credit Corporation Charter Act and things like that? The next farm bill, again, I'll let my other partners here who can speak more knowledgeable than I can where things are going to go from here, but just a couple of quick points. Obviously, who's running Congress in 2023 matters. What will the budgetary target be? So in 2018, you know, there was kind of an agreement going in that the net effect of the new farm bill on the federal budget deficit should be zero. And indeed, that's the bill that was passed. In 1996 and 2014, the expectation was that the farm bill had to save money. In 2002, that rare circumstance occurred where the new farm bill was allowed to have an increase in spending relative to a baseline. And of course, what will the budget priorities be? Will it be nutrition, conservation and climate change, money programs, crop insurance, etc.? So that's us. Well, thank you very much for the opportunity this morning. Be glad to hear the conversation. That's our crowd as of 2019, but we've had some departures since that time, unfortunately for us. Scott Gould on the far left there joined the American Soybean Association. To his right there, or his left, I should say, is Seth Meyer, USDA's chief economist, and the backer, Young Jun Kim, and Abby Mifford have both left us. So if you know a good economist, let me know. We're trying to hire. Thanks a lot.